We're going to convene the meeting of the Natural Resources Committee. It is 5 minutes after 1. In attendance are Representative Gatto, Representative Olson, myself, Co-Chair Ramirez, Representative Elkins, Representative Ledoux, our friend Representative Crawford, and we'll be joined shortly by Co-Chair Samuels, and Representative Seaton is celebrating his father's 97th birthday, and due back shortly, which I think is inspiring. Today we are going to take up what has turned into be a remarkable issue, and I'm delighted to participate in what I expect to be a really vibrant, fascinating dialogue on HCR 29, the Pebble Copper Deposit Management Plan. In attendance with us in the back of the room, quiet and ever watchful, is Representative Moses, thank you very much, who has declined to join us, but you're always welcome at the table, sir. We're glad that you're here. And presenting today, HCR 29, is going to be Representative Hawker. So Representative Hawker, if you'll come present, and then after that we're going to have Commissioner Menge from DNR is going to make a presentation and explain the fiscal note that has been attached, and then we will commence with public testimony, and because of the degree of interest, we're going to limit public testimony today to 2 minutes. And then on Monday, we're going to have Northern Dynasty make a presentation. And our intention is not to move this bill with any great haste, but to allow the members to chew on this. And we also have a letter from the Lake and Peninsula Borough, who are only able to meet once a month. And I don't know if everybody's got a copy of this letter that was sent to Chair Samuels, that their next meeting, their next borough assembly meeting is scheduled for February 21st, and they will forward the results of their local government governmental position to us on the 21st. So we should expect to take up this bill, I would think, in a very reasonable period of time following the opinions expressed by the Lake and Penn Borough, so that local government has a chance to weigh in on that. So, with that, all the anxiety should be out of the room. We're going to have a very fair and balanced presentation today and Monday, to borrow a line from my friends at Fox News. And with that, Representative Hawker, the floor is yours. Welcome to House Resources. We're happy to have you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and for the record, I am Representative Mike Hawker, District 32. And, sir, do you mind if I close whatever computer this is here so that I can use the desktop?
I'm fine with it. Yeah, I don't know who set that up.
Is anybody shouting?
Whose unit is that?
It's ours. I mean, it was requested for the.
No, I understand. Yeah, is the machine humming? Because I find it.
So now I've just got space to park. Thank you. But again, Mr. Chairman, thank you sincerely for the indulgence in making available the committee's time to consider this matter. The issue before us was driven by something that I've been watching for a couple of years, and just always in the back of my mind, I didn't know much about it, as most people, and that is the proposed Pebble Mine development over in the Iliamna region. I've watched this, and I've started to see more editorials appearing in the media throughout the state, and I've come to realize that this mine is of just tremendous it has tremendous magnitude and potential consequences in the hearts and minds of Alaskans, both for and against it. You see an awful lot, obviously evidenced by I'm absolutely amazed at the interest that this proposal has drawn here. But so clearly, this is documenting and pointing out to me that we do have something here, in our hands as public policymakers who have a stewardship obligation for the state's resources to consider carefully and make certain that we are guiding the state's policy in the correct direction. And I think that what this, the interest in this demonstrates and the magnitude of the potential of both the mine and its consequences, both beneficial and potentially in conflict with other resource interests, it rises to that level in which we as legislators and our role as policymakers for the state really need to take a particular interest in. I want to emphasize, and that interest, and we need to be very careful here that we don't get off of our mission and our role and our responsibility, but our interest here, in my opinion, is assuring that there, that the state conducts, that is the broad state, our administration, our legislative process, but the regulators of mining in the state conduct a fully open, transparent regulatory process, a process that is conducted in full compliance with our state's existing statutes and regulations, a process that is, that gains the public's confidence in our discussions and in the conclusions that are reached in that regulatory process. And that's really what this resolution is all about, and that is assuring the people of Alaska and people of the United States and people of the world that they can have confidence in Alaska's regulatory process to reach proper and reasoned decisions in the management of our resources. I sincerely crafted the resolution before us, House Concurrent Resolution 29, with the intent, and I very clearly, my personal intent was to make an affirmative legislative statement of support for Alaska's resource industry, and a reaffirmation of our commitment to the due diligence requirements that we have also established in statute to assure that we have responsible oversight and management of the development that our resource industry brings before us. You know, again, I want to emphasize this is a resolution that discusses only existing statute and existing regulations. We're not proposing any increased regulation or increased oversight here, simply an affirmation that we have an adequate regulatory structure in this state to assure responsible and proper development. Emphasize, of course, pebble prospect, as any mineral development prospect, is subject to our current statutes and regulations. I firmly believe that we have an adequate regulatory process in this state to assure that if development is ultimately approved, it will be a proper and responsible development. We've also got a process that does and can allow for the hearing and the voices of all folks concerned, whether they are concerned in support or concerned against a particular prospect. You know, we embodied, the state of Alaska some time ago embodied the core of our land planning commitments, the legislature, the policy direction we gave to the administration. We embodied in Alaska statutes 3804-065, and there are copies of these in your packet. These statutes are land plan. It's the land planning and classification statutes. And you know, with your indulgence, Mr. Chairman, I just simply like to point that, you know, cite the prefacing paragraph here, and it says that the commissioner shall. You know, we as a legislative body have determined that the commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources shall, with local government and public involvement, adopt, maintain, and when appropriate, revise regional land use plans that provide for the use and management of state-owned land. That's a reasonable thing for us to do. You know, we've directed the commissioner to provide for a process. Then the statute goes on further and discusses what those processes shall be. And, you know, in particular, I'll just cite a couple of these here, but we need to consider fiscal and economic and social factors affecting the area. It's certainly a very responsible directive to the department. We need to consider present and potential uses of state land. We need to consider supply resources, present and potential use of land under ownership of areas within concern, plan for the compatible surface and mineral land use classifications, and provide for meaningful participation in the planning process. That's something very important to us, a meaningful participation in the planning process by affected local governments, state and federal agencies, adjacent landowners, and the general public. And the commissioner shall adopt land use plans for state land. Again, this process has been followed. We followed it very well in the past. It has worked extremely well for us. And in particular, the prospect at issue today, the Pebble Copper Deposit, resides within an area of land that is encompassed in what is called the Bristol Bay Area Plan. That is that high-level land use planning process that was conducted, completed by the Department of Natural Resources. But when you pull out that Bristol Bay Area Plan, that Bristol Bay Area Plan was completed some time ago, but revised as in last spring of 2005. The Bristol Bay Area Plan, when you pull up the section and you look at the unit that is the Pebble Mineral Unit, and Mr. Chairman, again, if you'll indulge me slightly in referencing the area plan, the Pebble unit, which is R06-23, it is designated for minerals development. The management intent statement that our Department of Revenue put forth for the Pebble unit under the designation of minerals states, and again, with your indulgence, sir, I'd like to quote from the Bristol Bay Area Plan, and that is that mineral development in this unit is expected to be authorized after a public process. And I might, this is the DNR's own commitment in the area plan. After a public process that is as extensive as this area plan and with the benefit of site-specific data and design that is prepared for the development and not now available. For that reason, mineral development that is subject to an extensive public and agency process that involves public meetings and comment in the area and that involves site-specific design may require different widths and habitat protection measures than those specified in Chapter 2, and that would be referencing the area plan. Clearly, the folks that completed at DNR that completed this area plan recognized that the resource potential of this area, clearly a classification for mineral development, would be an appropriate conclusion, I believe. That is that we know there are tremendous resource potential there now, and it is being quantified every day, and every day we find additional potential resources there. It's a phenomenal economic opportunity that is sitting under the earth here. But likewise, the Commissioner of DNR, or the DNR process, concluded that to develop this, we need to conduct a further public process as detailed and extensive as the area plan itself was. I chatted with the folks over at DNR as I was looking at this and doing my own research this last few months. And in talking with the folks at DNR, I was asking, what does this lead to? I mean, what does this say here? And, what are our options? And again, they pointed me to the regulations underlying the area plan statutes, which provide for something that they call a management plan. I was unaware of what a management plan was, but I was guided towards a direction of a, quote, management plan, which is another term of art, of a more site-specific, more detailed review of a specific prospect and area. And it got me to leading that, if the department itself has said this is a great resource potential, but we really need a good, solid public process, why should we go beyond our existing statutes and regulations? I think they're well adequate to evaluate this prospect. So that's why, in coming down to the whereases, be it therefore, or past the whereases and the be it therefore resolved in this resolution, we're coming down to asking essentially that the public process contemplated in the area plan be completed and a report of findings and conclusions be provided to the legislature prior to issuing those final permits. It doesn't say stop permitting. It says prior to issuing final permits. I, as a legislator, would really like to know a lot about the science of what's going on here. This statutory regulatory process is not going to, in my opinion, I do not believe it will interfere with the work underway needed to delineate those resource reserves, and nor will it interfere with the ability to develop the site-specific plans that are, in fact, needed for the regulatory consideration. We look really specifically at the language that we're talking about here, and that's very, very, very important, I believe, to us, and asking, what are we asking for here? Again, the first resolve that we want to complete that management plan, and I take that management plan word right from our regulatory process, because, again, I was guided in that direction by the department as a thorough, proper site-specific planning. Using the site-specific data and design for the development. This resolution uses the exact same language that the DNR itself said we will do prior to issuing permits. I then also excerpt the second resolved as I really excerpt some of the language right out of their existing statute, that the land area planning statute, and say that it needs to be of sufficient detail to evaluate the scope and range of effects of the project, consideration of the physical, economic, and social factors affecting the area. And very importantly, this area plan process, or the management plan process, should provide for meaningful participation in that process by affected local governments, state and federal agencies, landowners, and the general public. Again, language straight out of our current statutes. The only thing that I think that is different here is that, you know, is the last resolved is the acknowledgement of myself, certainly, that I am not qualified to address the science behind the decision. I'm not qualified personally to address the merits and evaluate the merits for or against any possible development here. You know, I look around the table at, and Mr. Chairman, myself, I'm an accountant. You're a hospitality, you own a hotel and run hospitalities, and I see other members with different professions, but none of us are mining engineers. I don't think that any of us are particularly qualified to reach the academic conclusion on whether the mine development is appropriate or not. However, our Department of Natural Resources has a fully competently staffed divisions under absolutely competent management to evaluate that science and make those decisions. So again, the key point here, this resolution, and this is where we have to be very careful to draw a line. What is this resolution asking? This resolution is not asking for a debate to be conducted in this body over the merits of the mine, not at all. It is saying that we as legislators believe there is a large enough debate out there that it should be conducted in a full and open process in compliance with our federal statutory and regulatory processes, because that is the process we have established to discuss the science. The scientists can bring their issues together. The community brings its issues to that table. And we've charged the Commissioner of Natural Resources, we in statute have charged them to take that responsibility, evaluate that science, and make conclusions. But I do ask in this last resolve that, again, the Commissioner, when they've done this process and they've identified the conflicts, identified the issues discussed, and have heard the arguments and the science on the merits, that they come back to us, the Commissioner, evaluate those issues. Not saying don't bring it to us to evaluate, the Commissioner and his scientists evaluate it, then come back to us with the Commissioner's conclusions on the continuing appropriateness of classifying the area and this land for mineral development. This resolution asks that science be conducted in the forum that we've established to conduct science, not in the political process. Now, we are quite liable to hear, you know, and again, I suspect there will be testimony on all sides of this issue brought before you, Mr. Chairman, but I would counsel the committee, if I may, is that the debate, that the horns of this dilemma, the yes, it's a wonderful, it's a great, the jobs, the economy, the resource, the potential advantage to the future economics of the state of Alaska, one horn of the dilemma. The other horn, environmental concerns, the issues of the potential endangerment of our fisheries resources. Fair dilemma, fair horns, a great, that issue is what will be discussed in the regulatory process. But as we hear those arguments here in relation to this bill or this resolution, I would ask the committee to remember, this resolution does not ask for an evaluation, and we are not here to evaluate the merits of the underlying issue. But any debate we hear that argues passionately for or passionately against this prospect, to me, is evidence for all of us of why it is important that we assure the people of the state of Alaska, the people of this country, and the people of the world that we are responsible stewards of these resources. We do that by assuring that we have that complete an open public forum as mandated by our current statutes. That's all we're doing. We are telling our department, conduct the forum, conduct it openly, conduct it fairly, conduct it objectively. Bring us your results to think, bring us your conclusions to think about. So again, as you hear the passionate debate for or against the mine itself, the proposal of the proposed development itself, that respectfully is not relevant to the issue that I'm asking you to consider, and that is the issue that is there sufficient controversy? Is this issue significant enough to rise to the level that we want to remind the Commissioner of Natural Resources that we are concerned to conduct this process to assure a responsible outcome? And if I may, I would just close these remarks with an observation. A former representative of this, a member of this body, wrote me a rather eloquent letter. He lives out in Pedro Bay. And again, if I may, I think he puts a particularly fine touch on the point we're trying to make here. And if I may, again, I would quote from a letter I received from former member George Jacko. "This legislation, asking for state legislators to hold a public process and prepare a management plan, would serve to bring everyone to a far more educated and knowledgeable position. That can't be all bad. It has been my experience that whenever people have a deeper understanding and a little time to absorb, they are more comfortable and more open to compromise, perhaps even agree on developmental process." And again, fellow members of the legislature, that is what this resolution is about. It is about our endorsement of an open public process to assure that the public has a confidence that the decision ultimately made is correct. And Mr. Chairman, I really appreciate the indulgence on the introduction here, and we're at your disposal, sir.
Brilliant presentation, Representative Hawker.
May I quote you on that someday, sir?
Yeah. I'd like to recognize that we've been joined by Representative Kapsner, and Co-Chair Samuels has been here for some time. Appreciate your opening remarks, and are there questions for the resolution sponsor, Representative Ledoux?
Yes, Representative Hawker, through the chair. It sounds kind of like what you're saying is that you're expecting that all this resolution does is ask DNR to follow the law in making sure that this is an open, transparent public process. Is there any reason that you have to think that without your resolution, the DNR wouldn't be following this open, transparent public process?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux. I've only been in this body for 4 years, but I have found that sometimes the administration doesn't do what we want it to if we don't remind them. In this particular case, I believe I saw a cite in or a quote in the newspaper from a member of the Division of Mines, whatever it is there, that said that no, they weren't going to do a, they had not anticipated doing a more extensive management plan. I found that statement to be contradictory to the statement of intent and requirement that was published in the area plan. So, whether they, I really, this is a case I think it does rise to a sufficient level of importance that we as a legislative body in our oversight role and our stewardship responsibilities to the state remind the commissioner that this is something, this is a big enough issue, we would like it dealt with extraordinarily openly and make an extraordinary effort to assure an open and complete public process.
Follow up, Representative Ledoux.
Do you know of any other, we've had a number of large projects, I think, in this state. Do you know of any other project which has been selected for this type of a resolution?
Mr. Chairman, through the chair, well, it's interesting that I recall about a year ago we passed a resolution, the body passed a resolution, which I wholly endorsed, endorsing the Kensington Mine development. I think we had the facts and information before us at that time, and I felt very comfortable making that endorsement. In this case, I don't know if this is the right thing to do. I, as a legislator, to perform my job as a steward of the state's resources, believe I need a lot more information that is developed in a forum where I can have absolute faith in the proper execution of science, the proper evaluation of the issues. And to this end, I'm not sure that, you know, how this would relate to any other project, but I know that this, to me, this project rises to the degree that I would like to know a lot more before I am able to even begin to reach a conclusion as to whether it ought to proceed or not.
Follow up.
Yes, ma'am.
When we passed that resolution with respect to the Kensington project, what information did the legislature have before them on that project? Was there, I guess what I'm trying to get at, was there a similar type of management plan and then report to the legislature, the type of report that you're asking for the legislature to have in this case? Did we pass the resolution with respect to the Kensington mine without such a report? Or with such a report. I don't remember.
Through the chair, madam, I don't know what you and anyone else relied upon in making the decision in voting for that resolution. I know that I had relied on my personal experience, my look at the resource, the nature of the development, and felt that I had competent information to make that decision. I do not today have competent information to myself that gives me any degree of comfort that I am able to judge this Pebble prospect. And it is such an issue in the minds of the out in the public, both for and against. I can define the horns of the dilemma, but I cannot evaluate those data points. And again, we're simply asking DNR to provide us that evaluation.
Thank you.
Representative Gatto.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Representative Hawker, I noticed these are fairly thick, and this new one is fairly thick. And in thumbing through it, I find almost, not completely, but almost everyone is either don't open the mine or pass HCR 29. So is it the feeling that HCR 29 will somehow, in the minds of the public, be effective in killing the project?
Through the chair, Representative Gatto, with my apologies, but I do not know what you've been provided there. I know that the bill packet that I provided to the committee included only my sponsor's statement, the relevant statutes and regulations, and in particular, the excerpts from the area plan that I thought were particularly relevant, and an article that I probably violated a copyright in providing it to folks here, but there was an article that appeared in the current issue of Alaska Magazine that I thought did an extraordinarily good job of presenting the horns of the dilemma, defining the issue colloquially. So, and then we also, and just in feeling it appropriate that we, in providing the package, didn't provide anything that would appear to be, I mean, we're not debating the merits of the mine here. I would not present a packet to conclude pro or against the mine. We did include the public information that was provided to our office, all of our offices, I believe, earlier this year by the project sponsor, which does, I think, a particularly good job of defining the economic benefits that would be potentially available here. So I do not know. I don't know what you're looking at, but I do know, again, this is public process. I am specifically not, and presenting this bill, not in any way, shape, or form, taking a position for or against the development. But again, I'm just asking us to look at any positions taken for or against it as evidence of why it's so important we conduct an appropriate, open, and transparent process.
Other questions, Representative Elkins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Hawker, some of this communication we've had here speaks only to an open pit mine. And I'm told by some people that there's an extremely good chance it's not going to be an open pit mine. Because the really rich stuff is down deep, and it'd be just as easy to take it out through a tunnel it out.
Now, Mr. Chairman, is that a question, sir? If I may just sort of then colloquially respond, I didn't quite see a question mark at the end of that, but I would argue again here, this is my you have hit my, through the chair, Representative Elkins, excuse me, sir, you have absolutely defined my own consternation here. I know there is a, you know, there is this groundswell of yeses and nos out there that are reaching these judgments before the facts and the science is accumulated, presented, and before us all to make that decision. So again, I think this is why I again believe it is imperative that we use our best legislative abilities to have DNR conduct this science, bring forth that site-specific plan, which would have a great deal of bearing, whatever mining methods may be applied, but have a great deal of bearing on my ultimate decision, and I believe the public's ultimate decision on whether this project should progress or not. So I believe, sir, you are absolutely, totally and completely correct in illustrating why this is an important resolution for us to pass.
Don't you think that after the number of this public, that after a number of years of trying to streamline the permitting process, that you know this is kind of a 180 degree turn from that, and the end result would be data uncertainty to people looking at coming in to develop all kinds of resources, oil, gas, everything in the state?
through the chair, Representative Elkins. No, sir, I don't. I believe that we have an absolute responsibility to know what we're doing before we do it.
So that's what you're saying is we're not doing the job now?
No, sir. Through the chair, no, sir. I believe I gave extensive testimony that I believe we have an adequate and appropriate regulatory process where there are options and alternatives available in that process. In this particular case, I believe it rises to the level that we should, if anything, take the course of greatest caution, take the course that gives the public the greatest possible assurance. Very much as we know, I spent the first 15 years of my life working oil and gas development on, or first 15 years of my business life here, working oil and gas development on the North Slope and looking at offshore prospects. And again, that development has proceeded only with the most extreme caution, the most, you know, again, proper, thoughtful analysis of the underlying science. And this is a mega project. It rises to that same level of needing that same degree of attention by all involved.
Mr. Chair, just a comment. I guess it's not broke, but let's fix it anyway. That's kind of the way I look at it. That's what we're trying to do with
through the chair. I have received notes from people that say we should repeal all of our mining regulation statutes, and that is certainly a policy option available to this committee.
I'm going to encourage folks to feel free to offer many follow-ups. This is deserving of a lot of deliberation, I think. If I could pose a question to you, Representative Hawker, you just used the word mega project, which, of course, we hear a lot in the vernacular surrounding the gas line project, mega project, mega project, whether it's the governor or LB&A or the industry talking. Would you define for me the distinction, just as an elected official, but also as a layperson, the distinction that you draw between Fort Knox, Red Dog, Pogo, and whether you consider those mega projects, and why you consider the Pebble project to be a mega project, because that's kind of a buzzword for us.
Mr. Chairman, I'll be honest, I'm not prepared to describe them as a mega project or not a mega project. I have not devoted my time and attention to studying those projects in particular. This one has been on my radar screen for some time as something that had caused concern and has led me to delve a bit more deeper to where I had my own level of concern rose on this particular project, that I believe that it raises to the merit, rises to the degree that we as a legislature should be paying some attention to it here. And Mr. Chairman, as those other projects in their own time and place when someone else was sitting in our seats did also, simply that the same process was attended upon them by other folks.
Right. Representative Ledoux?
Whether you call it a mega project or not, I guess I was just sort of wondering whether or not you believe that this same type of resolution or scrutiny should be applied to all major projects in this state.
Through the chair, I believe that we should comply with our statutory and regulatory requirements. And in this case, I believe this is the proper interpretation of our existing statutory regulatory requirements as related to this project. Yes, I believe all development projects in this state should comply with statute.
Then can I just follow up? That I guess I'm trying to pin you down, though, as to whether or not you believe that when you have a major project in this state, whether we should go through all four or so of your resolved clauses, with the final one in specific being that the Alaska legislature requests a report to consider the information. Do you believe that with all major projects in this state that we ought to do that?
Well, ma'am, I believe, through the chair, ma'am, I believe the first three statements, I'll get my sequence correct here. Be it therefore resolves. One and two are quite honestly, just a reminder of the commissioner to attend to business and comply with law and statute, and that where there are choices that he has to make, to err on the side of assuring the public confidence. And then the last point, how many times have we decided we wanted to pay attention to something and the conclusion was to issue a report to the legislature? We do it all the time, but we don't do it for everything. but it is a thing that is appropriate for the legislature, and it's a tool, the only tool we have, really under our strong gubernatorial constitutional structure here, for us to make this policy statement that says we care about something, and we would like to know what you're doing. And again, there's nothing here that's directing them in any way, shape, or form to make any decision, do anything. But again, I myself feel that as a legislative body, we would be well served in this particular case to have that analysis and conclusions in our possession, give us a higher degree of confidence, and again, the public, the highest possible degree of confidence that the process has been open, objective, and fair.
Representative Crawford, do you have a question?
I'll wait.
Okay, go ahead, Representative.
I guess I'm just trying to figure out whether you foresee a report to the legislature in the future with respect to all major mining, gas, oil, whatever projects.
I'm through the chair. No, ma'am.
Would you want that?
And through the chair, I would have to evaluate any future prospect on its own merits.
Thank you.
Representative Crawford?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are a number of big projects in sensitive areas that are coming up that are going to be considered. Oil and gas exploration in Bristol Bay as a real sensitive area with a huge resource of salmon and other game. There's also Teshik Buck Lake up in the NPRA. There's Donlin Creek. What I'm getting at is, have our environmental regulations and oversight been weakened to the point where you feel like we should go to this kind of extra oversight in each of these cases in very sensitive or controversial areas? Is that what we're saying here by putting this over our project here for the Pebble Mine?
Through the chair, Representative Crawford, I don't believe that I have in any way implied here that we have weakened any environmental standards. I think what I have fully stated and I hope I have made myself very clear, I believe we do have an adequate regulatory process to ensure proper decisions, that responsible decisions made. Certainly, as and within that existing regulatory structure, we have the provisions that say when it's appropriate to have the public involved in an open process and to gain that public confidence, that that it's there when it is appropriate to do it. And in this case, again, I just sincerely believe it's appropriate to perform here. Again, any other project or development you may be discussing would have to be evaluated on its own merits.
Representative Elkins, did you have a question?
I'm all right.
Okay. Representative Gatto?
Yeah, thanks again, Mr. Chair. I think in reading through this, in the title, it specifically, the first word is requesting, and then on the second line, we have again the word requesting. Following that, we have 14 whereas, and so I want to go back on to resolve, and then further resolve, and further resolve. In the further resolved, it uses the word request again, which is keeping with the title. In the second further resolved, it uses the word requests once again, in keeping with the title. So I want to back up to the be it resolved, where it says that the Alaska State Legislature finds, that troubles me, that the Commissioner of Natural Resources should. And so I seem to have a conflict here. I think I understand what you're doing, and I support it. I don't have a problem there. I'm just concerned a little bit about the language, where if the commissioner receives language that says, hey, we're requesting you to do something, and somewhere in there we find that you should do something, is this kind of berating or emphasizing that don't forget you've got a job to do here and this is a reminder, or are we actually simply requesting something?
Through the chair, Representative Gatto, thank you for the opportunity to discuss the operative words here. We all work with Ledge Legal. Again, I prepared some draft language here. I was advised by legislative legal that within our, the constitutional sort of separation, well, sort of, but the firm separation of powers and duties and responsibilities, that the legislature in these sort of matters has only the power to request that the commissioner do whatever, whatever, whatever. In fact, if I was to suggest that we direct the commissioner, we'd be facing a constitution, you know, we would be in a constitutionally questionable circumstance. So, again, I believe I was, again, I'm taking the advice of legal counsel. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't play one on TV, but it's one that they, again, counsels provided me and said this is the proper form within the state's drafting manuals and conventions, and which are built themselves to conform with our constitutional separation of powers. So I'd certainly be, you know, if you had concerns on a particular word or wording, but again, I will defer that sort of a discussion more to the legal folks than to myself.
And my only concern was conformity in the language. Because when we don't get conformity, then we have that discussion that says, well, how do you interpret this? And I don't believe your bill leaves much room for interpretation. We request you do 1, 2, and 3. That's easy. But I hate to get into that arena of where we disagree about what it means. So it's more an advisory comment. I'm not questioning the intent at all, but just to better understand the language.
Through the chair, if I may, I would feel much more comfortable myself sometimes if our, you know, legal drafting conventions allowed a little bit more what I would consider colloquial language as well.
Representative Gatto, I asked Jim Pound to go make copies for the committee of the Kensington resolution that we did do last year, so that we can kind of lay it out and just see what we did last year and what kind of language is in that, so we can create some parameters. Because on one hand, it's a big deal. I mean, I look at the people that have signed up, and you know, this inches of letters for and against that we have. And then on the other hand, I think it's just a resolution about as meaningful as the Kensington resolution. And so I'm trying to ascertain how extraordinary this is, or maybe it's the tech bubble of '99.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, sir. We can't read.
Just to that point, if I may,
yes, sir.
I share your, I'm just frankly in awe of the incredibly impassioned debate of the merits of the proposed mine itself that this resolution has engendered. That is certainly not my intent. Again, my intent, I just really would like to reiterate, my intent was simply to be sure that the science is debated in the forum from which science is best debated. And I think the public is best, the state of Alaska and our public is far better served when that debate is conducted on the merits in a forum devoted to science and not here politically in the legislature, or even worse, debated in the media where there are no constraints or any particular need to adhere to truth.
Mr. Chairman, on that point.
Yes.
You know, I kind of came into this discussion saying this is a resolution, and usually the feeling in the legislature is resolutions are innocuous. Like Representative Croft says, it's a memo to ourself. But in this case, I think it's very different. I think when the governor and many of us in the legislature say we're open for business, that means we're open for business, and not, well, we're open to some businesses, and if, you know, some businesses we want to add some more hurdles to, I think that sends a mixed message to people who actually are listening to these memos that we're putting out. Thank you.
Excellent point, Representative Kapsner. With that, if you have something in summary, Representative Hawker. Otherwise, we've got a lot of people that have flown in. I'm sorry, Representative Olson. Go ahead. I apologize.
I'd like to follow up on Representative Ledoux's question. I don't know if we really got an answer to it, so I think I'm going to paraphrase it. Are we putting pebbles under more scrutiny with this resolution if it was enacted than the gas line, proposed gas line has?
Through the chair, I would, again, each project must be evaluated separately, but where we have invested, the state of Alaska has invested, Representative Samuels helped me, $100+ million so far in scrutinizing the gas line. I do not believe this resolution in any way, shape, or form is subjecting this mine to greater scrutiny than the gas line.
But I believe most of the scrutiny follow-up.
Certainly.
I believe most of that scrutiny has been financially related, if I'm not mistaken.
All so far.
all so far.
So, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I have great faith in the deliberative capacity of this body, and quite honestly, I believe this was an appropriate issue to be discussed and considered in the legislature. If there are not five affirmative votes to pass it, I would, you know, suggest that then the will of the legislature and then the wisdom will be served as well. But I'm very happy for the opportunity to at least have broached and discussed the question with the Resources Committee and the House of Representatives.
We appreciate it, and we hope you'll stay for the balance of the meeting today and listen to the dialogue. And with that,
just please let me emphasize, yeah. I believe that, this debate that goes to the merits of the mine is evidence in support of this resolution. It is not debating the resolution itself. So please keep, as legislators, help us keep our eye on the ball on what exactly this resolution does, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. So we're going to get copies of the Kensington mine resolution just so the members can do a compare and contrast on their own. Commissioner Menge, if you would come up and explain what the role of natural resources is going to be, and if you can explain the fiscal note to us, and whether that's unique to this resolution or whether it's part of the expenses that would have been borne by the EIS, and the floor is yours. Pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Michael Menge. I'm the commissioner designate for the Department of Natural Resources, and I appreciate the opportunity afforded me today by this committee to share some of the views that we have on the Pebble Mine. As you see, I have no notes with me today. I'm going to, I think, speak a little bit from the heart today on this issue. I've had the extraordinary pleasure over the last 30 years of working on a lot of large projects. With each of those projects, a tremendous amount of emotion comes with them. And unfortunately, the more emotion and more passion that's poured into a project, the more likely it is that facts, while interesting, will turn out to be irrelevant. It's the Department of Natural Resources' responsibility to be very dispassionate, be very cold and calculating in its analysis of any project or proposal that affects the state's resources. And that is what we will do. A project of this magnitude will bring into bear local governments, state governments, and federal governments. It may, in fact, be, at the end of the day, you will see international interest in this. Each issue on this project will be ground to talcum powder and will be looked at from 1,000 different directions. It will be the Department of Natural Resources' job in its coordinating responsibilities to help to organize all of this information and all of this process into a meaningful dialogue that will allow the legislature, the executive, and the people of Alaska to ultimately decide whether it is appropriate to proceed forward. We do this through the permitting process, and each of these permits considers the extreme specific issues related to that permit. This process cannot even begin until there is a very detailed project description, and from there we then begin the evaluation process. We take a great deal of pride in our ability to organize all of the information and all of the analysis into a meaningful process. It's something we do every day, and it's something that we're very good at. It does not mean that we run an operation in a vacuum or behind a screen. This entire process will be played out before the eyes of every Alaskan and, frankly, everyone in this country. There are very few projects like Pebble that will have the scrutiny that that project will have. It will rise. What you're seeing today is the very distant flashes and the very faint roll of thunder on the horizon, which over time will grow into a torrential downpour. For those of you who've seen a Kansas thunderstorm, I think you know what I'm talking about. This will happen. It is inevitable as the day follows the night, and you can be prepared for that. It is my job and my deputy's job and all of the employees of the Department of Natural Resources and many, many other state and federal agencies to take all of this information and synthesize it so that you can understand. This project will receive every bit of scrutiny necessary to make the very important decisions that will ultimately have to be made. This information is important. You should consider what this resolution proposes is a step beyond what we would normally do. And it, you will have to consider the possibility of that step being becoming precedent. And you must weigh that deliberation and measure that against the process that will unfold before you. This will not in any way change the deliberative process associated with permitting. It will not affect how EPA, the Fish and Wildlife Service, NOAA, Department of Natural Resources, Environmental Protection Agency, and literally 50 more state, federal, and local agencies, how they will do their job. What this does will be a synthesis of information that the state will use to determine how it will manage its lands. This process is extraordinarily important, and I think you will see over time that you will have as much access to the process as you desire. It is extremely important that you play an active role in this, and I feel like me and those who come behind me will sit in this chair on many occasions and lay out for you the various issues that are before the agencies on that day. I would like to leave you with the confidence of our ability to achieve the level of understanding that will make you and Representative Hawker comfortable. I respect the legislative process and will, and over time you will determine if you need to go beyond what we already have, and we will certainly honor and respect that will. I will point out that this comes with a price tag, and the fiscal note that Chairman Ramrest spoke of has been prepared. It falls just short of $400,000. It anticipates a two-year process. It is not gold-plated, nor is it a bargain basement. It's not a dollar store process either. It's what my professionals believe is a solid, defensible fiscal note to represent the additional work that would be entailed in this. It represents one full-time person per year and three other individuals who would work on a part-time basis over the course of 2 years. It does have a heavy travel component because of the need to get out there and move around. We would be prepared as time goes on, and if you deliberate this issue further, we will be more than happy to provide access to the individuals that put this together so you can better understand it. I would also make available to the chairman all of my permit specialists. Ed Fogels, my deputy commissioner, is here today, and Dick Miley, as my director of lands, is here today. Both of them are hard-bitten professionals and have been through this process many, many times. I have a tremendous amount of faith in them and their ability to organize the complexity that will associate itself with this process. Your greatest job is going to be to continue to focus in on the facts of the issues before you. I promise you, you will hear many different stories, and the people who tell you these stories will be passionate, and they will believe in their heart of hearts that they're right. But I will also assure you that in most cases, there will only be a portion of what you hear will be correct. You will have to see through that, and we hope that we can do that for you and with you. We're up to the task, and we will do that. I could go on and speak at great length over the process that we have, we fall back upon, plus what our sister agencies and federal government and also municipal government will do. But I know you have a full agenda today, Chairman, and I will simply leave it at that and make myself available for some questions. But I would also make myself and the entire department available at your discretion to provide you any additional information. And how much ever time you wish to spend in this issue, we will be available and help get this process working.
Thank you, Commissioner. I want to take about 10 minutes of time for questions with the Commissioner, because we can bring him back on Monday, we've got a lot of people that have come in from out of town. I want to make sure that we have ample time to have them testify today so they don't have to come back next week. Quick question for you first, and then Chair Samuels. On the fiscal note, are you saying that this resolution will cost more than the process would cost without this resolution in place, or are these fees built into the cost of what the state's due diligence would be anyway?
Chairman Ramirez, being a diligent bureaucrat, we would try to clone as much off of the normal process into this as possible. The number you see before you today is what it would take to fulfill this effort in and of itself. I cannot tell you at this time whether there would be efficiencies gained or inefficiencies. This is our best guess at this moment, and I think it's a defensible number. We might be able to trim a little bit off based on other activities, or if we find ourselves embroiled in this process, it may in fact require additional funding, but this is our best guess at this point in time.
Okay, questions for the commissioner. Chair Samuels.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Commissioner Mangy. Despite the hundreds of emails ginned up by a lot of these people in this room back here on one side or another, the resolution doesn't say you support or not support the mine itself. I don't have a clue whether I'd support the mine or don't support the mine itself, and I don't think for years anybody could know that. But do you think that the resolution, what it would do is add this extra small layer of permitting? Is it going to be concurrent with the permitting process and the EIS and all that right now, or are you pushing those processes back? Are you putting a delay on this project, or the analysis of this project by the entities that are already charged with doing that, or do you do this concurrently and just spend the $400,000?
Co-Chair Samuels, that's an excellent question. Because this effort would require the benefit of the knowledge generated during the permitting process, it would have to run concurrently. It could not get ahead, nor would there be much benefit in it trailing behind. So it would have to be concurrently, and that's why the fiscal note is what it is. It assumes an additional layer of activity on top of everything else that would have to be done to honor the precepts of the resolution. But it would be meaningless to run this thing ahead or behind the process. It would have to be concurrent.
Okay, and I got a couple of follow-ups then. If the Bristol Bay Area Management Plan, if the parameters of the mine itself changed, if they went to an underground mine or found yet another deposit of something else and abandoned the copper, and I don't know anything about mining, but if it went to another one, would then you have to start all over again with where the resolution goes? Would you start all over again and yet another process starts all over again? And I'll ask both questions at the same time here, Commissioner. You mentioned the precedent that this could have by having this extra layer and the extra cost of this permitting for this project. Would you find that the national environmental community would use this as yet another tool, whether it be the gas line or mining other places or in the regulatory environment, is the tool that environmentalists use to stop a lot of things in our state? Do you think that they would then use this as another tool to thwart efforts at development, whether it be a small mine that is not controversial or a large controversial project like Pebble?
Since I was concentrating so much on your two questions, I've forgotten the first one, so I'm going to answer the last one first, and then I'll ask you to summarize the first one. I think it's certainly an issue that will garner national and international attention, that no opportunity will be missed to advance the agenda of those who both support and oppose the mine. Additional process is that, additional process, and would provide some small opportunities. I will caveat that by saying that this will not present a unique challenge that would not have presented itself in abundance throughout both the state and the federal permitting process. So it will provide another opportunity. It will not provide another unique opportunity as it relates to challenging the data or the ability of the mine to proceed forward under the permit. And if you would just paraphrase your first question again, I'll...
You know, I've
I'm not feeling well to be here, so I'll skip the first part.
All right.
Other questions, Representative Ledoux?
Okay, I'm totally confused right now. Because Representative Hawker, as I recall, testified that this was basically just making sure that the Department of Natural Resources follow the law and conduct an open and transparent process. So now I'm trying to figure out exactly what, in addition, you would, and maybe you answered this already, but I just missed it, exactly what, in addition, would you be doing that you wouldn't be doing if this resolution were passed?
Representative Ledoux, through the chair, I appreciate the confusion that this talks about. Within the bureaucracy and within the land use planning process, we have a tremendous amount of statute and regulation that dictates pretty much how we do everything. A land use plan or a management plan has a life in and of itself. It has regulations that follow it, directions that it provides. So it is an exercise in and of itself. At the end of the day, that process allows you to classify lands or make determinations over the use of lands. It does in no way allow for the permitting. So you have to think about these things running on parallel tracks. The permitting process is the one that will, as I said, grind each of these issues into talcum powder, and at the end of the day will lead toward the issuance of the permits necessary to actually do the activity on the ground. The land use plan is a process that allows you to contemplate what is going on, how it affects state lands, and what you might do with those lands. So they are two separate processes running very closely parallel. And I perhaps have confused you even more with that answer.
You have.
I would be happy to sit down with you, and a lot of times a sheet of paper in front of us helps so that you can separate the two. But they are two separate processes. They can affect each other, but they in and of themselves have their own separate origins, process, and endings.
Thank you. Representative Ledoux?
So then you in the Department of Natural Resources would view this resolution as more than simply asking you to do your job?
Yes, because it does direct us to change or to produce a management plan, and that is a specific action that would be in addition to everything else that we're doing. So it does require an additional step.
And can I just ask?
Yes, ma'am.
One more. Does the administration have a position on this?
We believe that the current process is sufficient. We have a great deal of faith in the process as it exists. So we do not support this additional step. However, if it is the will of the legislature to take that step, we would not oppose that.
Thank you.
Representative Elkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, do you think this would have a negative impact on other businesses looking to do resource development in the state?
An excellent question. Through the chair, this issue, because of the emotions associated with it, there's no way to predict how this is going to be used. There's no way for any of us to predict what people will do with resolutions or with statutes or anything else. I think that there's an opportunity to misuse this the same way there's an opportunity to misuse anything that we do. In and of itself, it does not represent any risk. How an individual might use that and how they might contort that issue or portray it is, you know, left to the imagination of those we've all dealt with over the years.
Other questions for the commissioner? Commissioner, mega project. We use that a lot in relation to the gas line. What does the word mega project mean, and is this a mega project within the scope of the mining industry?
Representative Ramirez, if we make some assumptions, we can answer that question. Mega projects, by convention, are things that usually something more than $5 billion to build. That's not a hard, fast number, but that's a number that we is most often associated with the differentiation between a mega project and just a large project. Depending upon how much resource they ultimately find and what the mining plans are that associate themselves with this, it could very well become a mega project in the classic project management definition. the question you asked really gets at the heart of the issue, because we don't know what this project is ultimately going to be. With each successive drill season, they gain more and more information. I'm happy to report that with each successive season, it appears that the resource is richer and more widespread. That provides the owners of that resource with the opportunity to tailor a mining plan and make it less invasive. So at the end of the day, we'll only be able to answer that question, or whether this rises to the mega project level, after we have a project description. But it is certainly not beyond the realm of the possibility. This project could very well be the largest gold copper deposit in the world. We just don't know. But it has tremendous geologic interest.
Any final questions in wrap-up for the commissioner? Commissioner, thank you very much for your time, and we appreciate you making yourself available to sit down with Representative Ledoux and anybody else who would like some additional background. And if I can say for Director Milius, Dick Milius is here, he's also a great resource and very knowledgeable on this matter, so I appreciate you making him available to us, as well as the other members of DNR. So with that, I think we're going to go to testimony of those folks that are here in the room. Thank you very much for your time today, Commissioner, and we appreciate it. We will contact you if we think that you can be helpful next week when we hear from Northern Dynasty. If I could get, I'm going to go a little bit out of order here, just so we bring some mix and perspective to what we're doing. Steve Burrell, if you'll come up from the Alaska Miners Association and kind of give us a perspective of where the association is on this, please, and then I'm going to try and pick up a couple people online. We want to hold your own statements to 2 minutes, and then open it up to the committee for questions, rather than get tutorials from the people that are speaking from us. So with that, if you state your name and the organization you're with.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairman. My name is Steve Burrell. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Miners Association. I wish to make two primary points today. Number one, this bill duplicates what is already required by state law. The land management plan is already in place. This planning approach has worked well for several decades in Alaska. Once an application is made, as Commissioner Menge mentioned, to build a large mine or any other project, an EIS and permit process takes place. And let me say, even a project like the Pogo project that was completed here, they're just in nearly final construction, it took more than 3 years to do the environmental impact statement for that project, with multiple opportunities for public participation. And I fully expect that the Pebble project would require the same, if not more. Number two point, and this is probably the most serious of all, is that this is not an innocuous resolution. If this resolution is passed, it will be carried to Wall Street, Toronto, and London financial markets to discourage investment in Pebble and to make the potential investors afraid of investing in Alaska. Make no mistake about it, such a threat, if made on one project, will spill over onto Anwar, it'll spill over onto the gas line, it'll spill over onto any other major project that we seek to see built in Alaska in the future. And these people are not stupid that loan the money. They are going to look at this and say, if a single project can be targeted in this way, why won't every other project that we may want to invest in? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Steve, are there questions for Mr. Burrell? Terrific. Thank you very much, Mr. Burrell. Who's got the we had a request for a computer and for a 4-minute DVD, just so we can get that stuff shut off. If you want to come up and stick it in and run it, we'd be delighted. Then we can unplug those things and get our
Mr. Chairman, my name is Richard Jameson. I'm president of the Renewable Resources Coalition, and while my associate here is setting that up, if I could hand out with your permission.
Sure, we'll give somebody to help you. And is it going to take you a minute to get this set up?
He just needs to plug in the speakers. But the map will I'm going to show you the key rivers that are involved in the Bristol Bay drainage, and you will note the size of the Pebble Mine versus, which is in black, and the red is the entire mining district, which, as I understand, is almost 1,000 square miles. It's a huge, monstrous area, and it's right in the wrong location, we believe, even though we are not renewable resources, it's not anti-mining, and we are pro-development, but we just feel that this is absolutely the wrong location.
Okay. And I understand this video is 4 minutes, is that?
Yes.
Okay, great. Somebody want to hit the lights over there so we can...
They swim up the Nushagat to the Mochatna, the Stoyaw, and the Kapchuli rivers. On the other side, they swim up the Kvijak to Lake Iliamna and on to the upper and lower Tularet creeks. And it is here where these headwaters meet, where the largest salmon runs in the world originate, and the largest rainbow trout bring fishermen from around the world, that a Canadian mining company is moving forward to develop one of the largest open-pit mines ever blasted out of the earth, with 58,000 one-ton blasts every year. And beyond this largest of all open-pit mines, other mining companies have staked more than 1,000 square miles of this wilderness to continue expanding.
What hue and cry would go up if America decided to put an open pit mine in Yellowstone National Park? The impact of that mine in Yellowstone would pale compared to an open pit mine in this area. Why? There are no salmon in Yellowstone. They're bears, but they're not big bears. There are few American bald eagles. Around here there's thousands. There are very few 30-inch rainbow trout in Yellowstone National Park. There are hundreds thousands of them in this area. So the impact on Yellowstone would be devastating, and on this area would be worse.
The list of mines that have polluted the water and poisoned the fish is a long one, and the cost of cleanup and the time the damage lasts are staggering. Hundreds of millions of dollars lasting beyond our lives and our children. But never has there been a mine that has put such a tremendous ecosystem at risk, that is posing such a clear and present threat to renewable resources that serve the entire planet and the $100 million a year economy they support. If this mine pollutes as the others have, the damage will be of a scale that is unimaginable. Time to stop Pebble Mine. Your help is needed today. By villages who rely on subsistence, by sports hunters and fishermen, and by commercial fishermen who rely on the salmon runs that have their very heart in this special place. We need your help to preserve a wilderness that is truly irreplaceable. Renewable Resources Coalition is a 501c6 membership organization dedicated to stopping the proposed Pebble Mining District.
Okay. Grateful for this Discovery Channel minute. And with that, are there any questions for Mr. Jameson from the Renewable Resources Coalition? If you want to come on up, sir, I don't know if there are any questions for you. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Jameson? Seeing none, we thank you for the tape, and I appreciate it. Do you have one? Go ahead, Representative Kupcher.
Can you give me a list of the contributors to your 501c6?
No, we're not allowed to do that.
Not.
Would you have a seat if you're going to answer questions, Ms. James?
Could you put that in, maybe speak it in the microphone so that I can get on the record?
Yes, we don't give out our membership, either the names or our contributors.
How many, just a ballpark figure, how many members and contributors do you have?
Several hundred.
Mm-hmm. Are they mostly from the Bristol Bay area?
They're from a wide variety of places. Many from the Bristol Bay area, yes.
Would you say a majority from the Bristol Bay area?
Probably.
Okay, thanks.
Representative Ledoux.
So based upon this videotape, I assume that you support this resolution. Is that correct?
Yes, we do.
So do you view this resolution as a way of stopping the mine?
No, we don't. In fact, we think it does do, we believe, a little bit more than existing regulations, but not much more. It does draw attention to it, and we think that the DNR will give it much more careful consideration if the resolution is passed.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Jameson? Representative Gatto?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'm not familiar with the C6, just the C3. What differences exist to a C6?
A C6 is similar to a trade association or a chamber of commerce. It's made up primarily of businessmen.
Is it tax-free?
No. Contributions to a C6 are not treated as charitable contributions.
Okay, I'm going to just follow up.
Okay.
It does say the map was created by the Alaska Center for the Environment.
That is
correct. Are they a contributor?
They are not. We just borrowed their map with their permission.
Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you have a position on oil and gas exploration in Bristol Bay as well?
At this point, we have not. We have not considered that. But again, as I said earlier, in general, we are businessmen and are pro-development. But this is just the wrong place. We have not thought or considered about the waters of Bristol Bay out in the salt water, that is.
How long has your coalition been in existence?
About 6 months, something like that.
And we've been talking about oil and gas exploration in Bristol Bay now for at least the last 20 years. And it would seem that we're talking about the same area, same resources, same salmon. It would seem that you would have had a position there.
We may well take a position at some point.
Mr. Jameson, if you could direct your answer through the chair, I'd appreciate it.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Mr.
Go ahead. Go feel free.
Just that we have not yet taken a position on it, and we may very well at some point take a position. But as of right now, we have not.
Okay. Representative Gatto?
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. You said you can't identify the people who contribute to your organization. Can you tell us the amount of the money that's contributed?
No, I can't.
Can you tell us if some of the contributors are from the United States or overseas?
We have no contributors from overseas.
I have to tell you that it's disconcerting, and it creates a certain air of suspicion if we have a group which I consider to be probably fairly large, or you wouldn't be able to be here and create such an elaborate presentation, unless you were substantially well-funded and probably by some groups. And I personally would like to know which groups these groups are, because you did make a statement that a substantial number of people were from Bristol Bay. And sometimes a statement, which I can't prove or disprove, just seems incredulous. And when it seems incredulous and you are not able to verify, confirm, and I can't oppose, it just lays the suspicion down right on the ground.
If it would assuage your feelings at all, to date, there are no organizations that are funding us. It is all from individual contributions. Does that help you?
Representative Kapsner?
Yeah. I'm wondering how many other projects the Renewable Resource Commission has looked at around the state.
As I said, we've only been in business, if you will, nonprofit business, for 6 months, and Pebble is our primary concern right now. And frankly, I think we probably have more on our plate than we can handle just with Pebble. So I don't know what other projects we would be looking at in the near future.
Okay. Representative Kapsner, follow-up?
I'd like to kind of reiterate the comments, Mr. Chairman, of my colleague here. It just seems like a brown paper. You know, I guess for all of us sitting here, you know, in a public forum through the public process, we all have to list out our contributors name for name, not only who they are, but who they work for and in what capacity and their address and what the check number was and, you know, all of that, the amount. And so, you know, to have somebody join the public process who has a very secretive membership is disturbing. I just wanted to let you know that.
I would point out that the Alaskans for Responsible Mining have just as remarkable list of the secret contributors that are on the other side. So I mean, I don't want to just demonize this group, but your point is certainly well taken. But there's plenty of secrecy out there, lobbying all kinds of different ways. Are there any more questions? I don't mean to denigrate at all. What you think, Chair
yes.
Samuels?
Go ahead.
None. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one question to reiterate what Representative Ledoux said. Your organization is in favor of the resolution, or you're opposed to the mine? Or both? You're opposed to the mine?
Yes, we're opposed to the mine as we understand its location and its manner of construction. We do understand that Northern Dynasty keeps coming out new plans, but the ones that we've seen we're certainly opposed to. But notwithstanding that, we think that at a minimum that ACR 29 should certainly be adopted as a reasonable first start in making sure that this incredible area is protected.
So does your organization then believe, to follow up on everybody's question before, do you think that the mining permitting system in general should just have an extra layer onto it for everywhere? this area, I grew up in that area. I know it well. It's different than the Kensington mine or the Lucky Shot mine or the Red Dog mine or the Donlin Creek mine.
Well, open pit mines are by nature just so much different than normal mines. Back when the management plan for Bristol Bay was put in, people weren't doing open pit mines. They didn't know how to get the gold and copper in small quantities out of the ground. Since then, it's only been the last 20 years or so that they've really develop the process, and it's a very dangerous process. But I don't think that the existing management plan ever considered a huge open pit mine like is being proposed by Northern Dynasty.
Representative Cotto?
I'm really excited by your comment. I certainly support the resolution but oppose the mine. What would you say if the resolution were passed and the work were done and the work indicated that the mine could operate safely and comfortably and within the requirements? Would you then?
That's an interesting question, and we certainly considered that as a possible outcome. We're willing to take the risk of that. We think that probably DNR will conclude that it's just not the place for the mine. Maybe up in the North Slope is a great place for an open pit mine, but not at the headwaters of the Bristol Bay watershed. But certainly we would be bound by whatever DNR would come up with. That is a risk we're willing to take. Apparently Northern Dynasty is not willing to back this resolution and let DNR take a good close look at this.
Well, we understand that you would be bound by it. I don't think that's contested. The interesting part of it is that you're hopeful that the resolution is passed only in as much as it interferes with the progress of developing the mine.
No, we think that it will give
again, if you could direct your answers through the chair, I'd appreciate it. I want to maintain the decorum in the room, please.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
I think that, the resolution will give much closer scrutiny by DNR to the process. And I believe if that occurs, from our perspective, that they will conclude that this is just not a good environmentally sound project, as Governor Hammond noted should be the very first criteria in his 4 points.
Final question, Representative Kapsner. I want to keep, we've got a lot of people that are here, and we're going to go over as it is beyond the 3 o'clock hour.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
if, you know, I just asked the question to Northern Dynasty, is this for sure going to be an open pit? And that was one of the suggestions, but now that the east side is looking like they're going to develop that, they're looking at other things. If you and your group were to find out that this is, in fact, not going to be an open pit mine, would you still oppose it?
I would certainly have to look a lot more at it. I couldn't tell you. I mean, we have our experts, too, that tell us because this is a sulfide mineral deposit-based copper area, I don't know what the ramifications of doing a deep regular pit regular mine shaft kind of a mine would be as compared to an open pit. I mean, our experts would have to tell us that before we could make a decision.
Final question, Representative Gatto.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Again, do you oppose or support mines in other countries?
We've never gotten involved in any other issue other than Pebble Mine at this point.
I guess just a
Mr.
little
Chairman.
Follow-up.
Yes, sir.
I think on record there's some indication that in the USA we're cleaner than virtually everywhere else. Would you agree or disagree?
Not as far as open pit mines are concerned, Mr. Chairman. If you look at Colorado, Montana, Wisconsin in particular, most of those states have passed laws that prohibit cyanide mining. And they've done that because of open pit mines having befouled their streams. So maybe we're better off than Argentina or Indonesia in some places, but I think that there's a lot to be learned about methodology for open pit mines.
Okay, good shape. Thank you very much, Ms. Jameson. While we get this area cleared off, let me just go to Fairbanks to Roger Burgraff, and then we'll get back to people that are here in the room. Do you have him at the Fairbanks LAO? You hear us, Roger?
I can hear you.
And if you'd keep your remarks very brief, you're just filler for us while we clear the desk.
I'm Roger Burgraff. I live at 830 Sheep Creek Road. I've worked in the natural resources field for over 45 years, have been appalled by what I've seen occur over the since 1980 by certain special interest groups to lock up, stop development in Alaska, and deny Alaskans an opportunity to obtain good paying jobs. I have had prepared quite a bit of testimony, but I'm not going to do it now. One thing that I've noticed here is that we don't know what is going to be submitted. We don't even have a permit application. Northern Dynasty does not know what it's going to do. I ask, why is there all this hype to study the issue? And I've seen over the years where studying the issues means to delay the project. I think we need to wait until the company submits an application, which will require an environmental impact statement, public input, and a myriad of federal and state permits. We're just jumping the gun way, way ahead. There are adequate regulations in place, and the public will have an opportunity to go ahead and review the facts as they are. Commissioner Mange did a good job in making his presentation, and Steve Burrell did excellent. I have some real concerns as to what is, if an effort is made to try to stop this project, what impact is it going to have on Alaska, Alaskans, and on our permanent fund? One of the individuals that I am told who opposes this project which you saw him speak here earlier, actually is an investor that has a lodge in Iliamna, and he takes his clients out there to, you know, get funds or to do investment. He's also has an investment firm, which has, I am told, between $4 and $6 billion of our permanent fund money.
Mr. Burgraff, I appreciate that, and your 2 minutes is up, and our table is clear. So I'd like to go back to people that are testifying in the room, and I appreciate very much your testimony. It's good to hear from somebody at home up in Fairbanks. So thank you for your remarks. And what I'd like to do is to go back into the room here. We've got some individuals, which is always refreshing. Trefon? Angerson? Okay, thank you, sir. And how about Martha?
Okay.
Okay, all right. And how about Jeff Parker?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Jeff Parker, and I'm going to testify in support of the resolution.
Are you here with an organization, or are you just yourself?
I'm an attorney and represent Trout Unlimited and Mr. Gillum in matters related to transportation issues out there that do involve Pebble Mine. Okay. I'm going to ask and answer 4 rhetorical questions that I hope will help the committee, Mr. Chair.
In 2 minutes. That's all right.
In 2 minutes.
You got it.
Okay. What does the HCR do? What the HCR does is a step-down management plan. A step-down management plan allows the public to focus on issues in a narrower area than occurs in the Bristol Bay Area Plan. It would be focusing on a portion of the Bristol Bay drainages, the Quijac-Nushagak, and on the issue of whether or not large-scale open pit mining, basically this type of sulfide mining, should be allowed, which exposes everything to sulfuric acid issues. It would complete that step-down plan before the permitting process. That's how it should be done. Secondly, has DNR done step-down management plans in the past? That was Gabriel Ledoux's question. Yes, 3 of them to give examples. 1 in the Bristol Bay drainages. The Nushagak-Mulchatna Recreation Management Plan is a step-down plan for those 2 drainages within the Bristol Bay Area Management Plan. It's a management plan within a bigger management plan. Also, Hatcher Pass within the Willow Subbasin Plan. Also, the Kashwitna Timber within the Timber Corridor within the Susitna Area Plan. Those are step-down plans. That's what we want. Third, should DNR complete the step-down process before permitting? Yes, the reason is that the permit of step-down planning process to address a small area on the single issue of what type of mining should be allowed is much more focused and a lot cheaper than a permitting process. A permitting process, you've heard, will be 50 agencies with hundreds of experts. The federal meeting, 3-day meeting of federal experts on Pebble was about 250 federal employees, scientists. Fourth, should you pass HCR 29? Yes, it lets the people speak to the simple forum and the simple issue first of whether this kind of mining, not all mining, but this kind of mining should be allowed in drainages as important as these. It's cheaper. The commissioner's fiscal note that is already submitted shows you that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Parker. Questions for Mr. Parker?
I hope that shows that it doesn't duplicate anything. A management plan is not a duplication of permitting.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Parker.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
That help you?
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Ledoux, Mr. Parker. All right. Mark Hellenthal.
I'm Mark Hellenthal, and I'm here to testify on a public survey we did, public opinion survey,
in the impacted area. We did a survey is a cumulative record up to a point in time. It tells you nothing about the future by itself. That was the area could disappear, and obviously the public opinion would disappear with it. But we did the survey between the 26th and the 30th of January of this year. It has a 5.83 plus or minus margin of error of 265 residents in the impacted area. The largest was done proportionate to population based on the 2000 census population. The population of the 11 villages and one town or city, Dillingham, was roughly 4,200 people, and we interviewed 265 of them. We interviewed 265 adults, I should classify. 96.2% had heard of the Pebble Mine. That was the very first question. After we screened for registered voters in the state of Alaska, the result was, I'll read the question, the proposed Pebble Mine would develop gold and copper deposits in the Bristol Bay region near Lake Iliamna. The Pebble Mine is potentially one of the largest deposits of gold and copper in North America. Do you strongly favor, somewhat oppose, or strongly oppose opening Pebble Mine project to gold and copper mining? Strongly favor was 8.7%. Somewhat favor, 11.3%. 15.1% somewhat opposed, a resounding, and this isn't without editorial, 56.6% strongly opposed, and neutral, or the undecided, would be at 8.3%. We then ask a series of questions, asking would they be much more likely, somewhat more likely, less likely, or much less likely to support opening Pebble Mine if you knew that. And we filled in five different statements, the accuracy of which you can judge. Pebble Mine plans to employ over 1,000 workers during the mine's proposed 25-plus year production cycle. I can read the results if you so choose.
We all have copies of this up here, so I'd rather have this open up for any questions of Mr. Hellenthal?
One last thing.
Yes, sir.
After the five questions we asked, we then repeated the very first question in terms of favoring of or opposing, and roughly the series of five questions biased or skewed the results against the mine by an additional 6 or 7%. We do that just to see what the impact of the questions would be in terms of biasing a sample.
You don't have a copy? Or do you have a question, Representative Gunnell?
Question, yeah. Obviously, there was some expense in conducting the survey. Who paid for the survey?
Nobody's paid for it yet. I was contacted by...
That's the most candid answer I've heard this afternoon.
I haven't billed, and I was contacted by one lifetime Alaskan, Art Hackney, and then contacted by another lifetime Alaskan, and almost lifetime friend who I grew up with, Bob Gillum, to conduct the survey. To be quite honest, I'm not sure who I'm supposed to bill for it. I'm not particularly worried about it. I'll turn Gillum upside down, although it's a little more difficult today than it was 50 years ago, and shake him until the coins fall out of his pocket. So.
Yes, sir. Chair Samuels.
Thank you. That was the most candid answer we've gotten all day. I hate to argue with a pollster or even question a pollster because you know far much your business than I do. But when you looked at the communities that you polled, was it by a political subdivision?
No,
because not at all. The Bristol Bay Borough is Naknek, South Naknek, and King Salmon for fish tax reasons. When we look at where the waters flow, you got a whole lot out of Dillingham, which is way further to the east, and then from New Stew, I think, where the other ones came out of, up the Nooshigak. So I understand it, you can consider all the drainage, but there's some that seem to be pretty noticeably absent, which are far closer than the Dillingham numbers were. And I'm just wondering, when you looked at the sample size, how did you go about
I simply took a map and went around and took the closest villages, ran it by the client, and
fair enough.
They suggested originally it was 10, 9. I said, well, what about these two? They're right on the river taking out. Oh, yeah, okay, put those in, too. But there was no political boundaries thought of at all.
I wondered if it was in the borough or in the...
A close concentric impacted area was the general guideline. And I would imagine that polls will be done expanding that area from beyond later. But
I would assume so.
Representative Gatto?
If you had a very rich sponsor and he said, let's do it statewide, do you have any guess as to what the percentage would be for, strongly opposed?
I think I can tell you on the very first question, have you heard of the proposed Pebble gold mine, that's not going to be 96.2%. It's going to be a whole bunch of, huh, what was that? I think at this state in the development of things, the general public has not followed this concept very well at all. If I went into Fairbanks, for instance, I would almost expect 96.2% wouldn't have the foggiest idea what the Pebble gold mine is. They may think it's 4 or 5 miles up the road, and it's one of the ones they can be quite shocked to find out that it's in southwest Alaska.
Representative Gatto?
Just a comment. If commercial fishermen live in Matsu Valley but fish in this area, they're very much aware of it.
Okay. Oh, I'm sure they are. But and I'm sure they do the same in Fairbanks. They are, too.
All right. Any final thoughts for Mr. Hellenthal? All right. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And we have copies of the polling data for our reference. Barbara, would you like to come up? Barbara Huff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, members of the committee, my name is Barbara Huff Teknis. I'm here today representing the Alaska AFL-CIO regarding HRC 29, and we would like to go on record supporting this. Since I've only got 2 minutes, I would like to respond to a couple of issues that have come up. A question asked earlier was regarding projects. The only one that could come to my mind, and I was actually involved in it, 94, 95, I believe. In fact, I was watching this lady up on the wall who was intricately involved in the North Star project. That was not a resolution. It wasn't a concurrent resolution. It was actually a bill. Now, are they exactly alike? Are the issues the same, similar? One of the issues that we dealt with in North Star, of course, was local hire and local contracting. Not an issue at all that I'm aware of in this particular concurrent resolution, while we would like to hope that it's something that's also looked at as we're moving through the process. Another piece of legislation that came to mind, again, probably not exactly the same, would be our dealing with the natural gas pipeline, Stranded Gas Act. That piece of legislation went back specifically too. Now, the issues are not the same again. We're dealing with oil and gas, not mining. I don't believe that we've had probably a lot of pieces of legislation regarding mining. Is that a good thing, bad thing? I'm not an expert. I am here on behalf of the AFL-CIO to support the public process and making sure that the information is put out to the public, and so that somebody in Matsu or somebody in Fairbank is at least aware of the project and those particular implications are looked at. Another issue that came up, does this mean that we are anti-Pebble? Absolutely not. We represent members. We've got a letter as far as the Teamsters represent members at Usabelli Coal Mine. We actually have a history of supporting mining and also oil development strongly. We have represent many members that work in those particular areas. Usabelli Coal Mine has an accident-free 700 and I may be wrong in the days, 700 and some days. They're receiving an award from the governor. In summary, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, we do ask that you support the concurrent resolution and allow an open and thorough review of the process. And once those results are made, I guess where we stand on the Pebble project itself is to be determined at a future date.
Questions for Barbara? Was there any... Is there any advantage? What advantage would slowing down the process have for organized labor?
Well, I'm not so sure that I would phrase it as slowing down the process. I think that an open public process is probably a good thing, not a bad thing. We have the list earlier. We are not elected officials. My membership list with either the AFL-CIO or specifically with the Teamsters is not a public document, nor would we expect it ever to be. Does that mean that we're a secretive organization? I don't believe so. But again, it's certain rules that I think apply to elected officials that probably with other organizations, right or wrong, do not necessarily apply with other individuals or groups out there.
Any other final questions for Barbara? Thank you very much. Is Brian in the room, Brian Kraft? You'll state your name and your affiliation, Brian. It's nice to see you again. Thank you for coming to Juneau.
Appreciate it. My name is Brian Kraft. I'm a business owner in Bristol Bay and a resident of Alaska for 19 years. I'm also the director of a nonprofit organization with the purpose of education called Bristol Bay Alliance. And that organization is to educate people in the Bristol Bay area on mining issues. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak, and I appreciate the concern in this issue. I'll be brief. I know we've got other people that want to speak, and so I'll try and rush through this. But this issue is a massive issue, almost as massive as the proposed mine itself in the mining district. And the reason that it's massive and that it is going to take attention from our elected officials is that mining, the way it's done now, in the open pit mining, has long-term, possible long-term negative effects. All we need to do is look at neighboring states such as Montana, Wisconsin, Idaho, Nevada, Arizona. These places where open pit mining was at one time allowed at a certain stage, now in a lot of places, Wisconsin has a moratorium on any more open pit mining. Montana has banned the potential type of mining that Northern Dynasty is proposing. And that is done because of major problems that those states have witnessed over the years. I originally started out in favor of this, and through an education process, which this is not something that you learn in a day or in a two-hour meeting. I spoke with, had the pleasure of speaking with Representative Ledoux last week, and you know, she quite candidly said, you know, I don't know this process. It's an educational process, and I think it's very important that the public, the state of Alaska, because this is going to affect people throughout in Fairbanks, in Wasilla, in Seward, that the public is given an opportunity and a wide opportunity, not a 45-day window, but a massive opportunity to speak their mind and learn about this process. If this HCR 29 adds another layer of protection for me as a private citizen in Alaska, I embrace it. I'm not trying to stop it. I want protection. I want my Department of Natural Resources to have all of the tools necessary, and I want to be able to learn about it.
Thank you, Brian.
And can I have one yes. second more?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
thank
sir,
you, Chairman.
Uh-huh.
I would leave with this, that I respectfully understand that Northern Dynasty is going to do a presentation here on Monday. I've been to 15 of them. I've traveled to every village in Bristol Bay, and I've watched the presentations. I would expect nothing less than Northern Dynasty to come here on Monday and do their very best to convince you that they are going to operate safely. I have no question that Northern Dynasty wants to do this project and wants to do it safely and environmentally sound. Therefore, I think that Northern Dynasty should embrace any kind of legislation that adds protection to the residents of Alaska.
Thank you very much. Are there
I questions? Hope there's questions.
Excellent testimony. Are there questions for Mr. Kraft?
Can I ask one question?
Certainly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you tell us more about your membership?
Through the chair? Is that how it goes?
Okay.
Yes, I can. Unlike a 501c6, we are a nonprofit. We don't have a tax deductible mm-hmm. status yet. The board members are seven people, four of which are from the Bristol Bay area, native Alaskans. A majority of the membership, and there's only maybe 125 people that have paid membership, you know, $25 here, $50 there. The majority are Alaskans. There are some from lower 48 that have heard about this. But The mailing list is massive. It's basically every person in Bristol Bay with emails, inquiries about. And the purpose that I set out starting the Bristol Bay Alliance, if I can expand on it, was I wanted the people that lived out there to have an opportunity to learn both sides of the mining industry. There's positive things about it. There's possibly economic gains, but I also want them to be aware of the environmental, potential environmental problems and social economic problems. And that is not, that's what we were missing. When Northern Dynasty would come out and do the presentations, we weren't seeing, okay, here's both sides. And that is the purpose. It is not a purpose to stop the mine. I have come with my personal conclusion as to what we should do, but I want to hear from people in Lake and Penn Borough. I want to hear people in Wasilla. I want to hear people from the state of Alaska. What do we think we should do with that area? Okay. And you have to have the education in order to make that assumption.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Thank you. Excellent. All right. How about Jack Hobson? Are you here? Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Jack. Thank you very much, Brian. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing me to speak to this committee. For the record, my name is Jack Hobson. I'm the president of Non-Dalton Tribal Council, which consists of over 400 members, with 220 of them live in Non-Dalton. And I could say that 220 of those members are opposed to the Pebble Mine. The reason why we're opposed to the Pebble Mine is that I've been to a lot of meetings with Northern Dynasty, and at every one of those meetings, they always made promises. And we all know that promises are made to be broken. If they could stand up there and guarantee that there will be zero net loss, I mean guarantee on paper, on record, that there will be zero net loss, we may look at it. And I also would like to say that we, the people of Non-Dalton, support House Bill 29, due to the fact that Northern Dynasty has an MOU with Department of Natural Resources where Northern Dynasty is paying DNR workers for their work, sort of like reimbursing their money that the state is paying. Northern Dynasty is reimbursing them DNR. Now, there's a concern that they may not give their opinion, whether biased or unbiased. Will it be a honest opinion because of the fact that they are their opinions might be tainted already by the fact that they're getting money from Northern Dynasty?
Thank you. Are there questions for my
One of the other things that, you know, as Native people, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead. You're doing great.
One of the things out there is that Native people, we rely on our renewable resources. And without them, we'd have a hard time to exist, especially with pure water out there. Everything out there depends on pure water.
Thank you, Mr. Hobson. Are there questions for Mr. Hobson? Excellent testimony. Thank you very much for coming down to Juneau, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you for letting me allowing me to speak.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Is Bobby Andrew here? Hi, Mr. Andrew. It's nice to see you.
Thank you. If I may.
Yes, sir. We have somebody handed out for you. Just sit down, and we're bumping up against the clock here, so we're.
Okay. Jemiah, I'm Bobby Andrew. I serve as secretary to the newly organized Bristol Bay Alliance, of which you asked a question to, and I'm one of those members. On behalf of some of the villages in our region, the village of Equock, Kalignik, and Dillingham, I want to thank you on behalf of those villages to have this opportunity to speak to you.
Yes, sir.
And the villages I just mentioned are in support of House Concurrence Resolution 29. What he does is it places a strong foundation on the subsistence, to protect the subsistence resources. Not only that, it also tells the Department of Natural Resources to follow up what they are currently doing and reinforces what those requirements are. And very importantly, it's going to get some of the rural villages involved through this process, which is going to be one of the key areas when Northern Dynasty submits their permit application. And education is one of the key areas that we're working on with some of us involved at the local level and at the regional level. Living in the Bristol Bay Area, as many of us do, and some people have the education and some don't. There's the promise of many jobs that are going to be created. None of the people in the region have the mining experience that's going to be required by Northern Dynasty. And I've attended one of their meetings where we were provided information on some of the job listings that they were going to be requiring. Many of those positions require at least 5 years mining experience. And we in the region have no experience in that area. The information that you just got from Dillingham was signed not only by the tribal members or village corporation shareholders, they were signed by many of the residents involved in the healthcare field, the subsistence users themselves, and also an attorney wrote you a letter. So they're all in the packet, and I thank you for this opportunity. And once those permit applications go through, there's many of us, only one person well, out of many of the people within the region. I know Mary speaks Yupik, so out of many. Those applications or the statements that are going to be coming up will be foreign to us.
Okay.
So this resolution is going to, you know, give us the opportunity to educate ourselves also.
Mr. Andrew, you're very articulate, and it's an honor to have you come before our committee to testify. Thank you very much. Would you stay for a moment in case there are some questions for you from the remaining members of our committee, please? Are there any questions for Mr. Andrew?
Can I make a comment to him in our please. Executive session?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you very much, Mr. Andrew. All right, and for our folks that are at LIOs and OFFNET, you can see we've had a full room, and it's a Friday, or we would have held folks over, but people are going to go home for the weekend. We're not going to get to any of the OFFNETs. The last person to speak here, who's clearly one of the moving forces behind this, and I didn't want him to crowd out with questions from the remaining members of our committee. Some of our other folks is Bob Gillum. Bob, would you like to come up and testify to the committee and answer questions? I will just so that you don't have to. I'd like to correct my friend Roger, who's up in Fairbanks, who suggested that Bob, as an investor, manages some disproportionate amount of the Alaska Permanent Fund, and that is not the case. Mr. Gillum, through his private sector job, manages money for the PERS fund and for the permanent fund, and it is an amount that is regulated in law. They're very careful about. I believe there's a limit, isn't there, Mr. Gillum, to how many different, what dollar volume you're allowed to manage for any of those entities. So this notion that it is some disproportionate sum and that there is any undue influence in the room as a result of that, I want to dispel that and say that whatever your opinion is about HCR 29, that the integrity of Mr. Gillum is resolute and that he is a lifelong citizen of Alaska. He's from Fairbanks, where I grew up, and he has contributed in many, many positive ways to many institutions across the state, many communities, and whatever our opinion is on HCR 29, I'm always concerned when we get personal about people, and you're a good man, and this will, you know, unfold for all of us over the next couple of weeks, and it's an important issue, but I want to make sure that your integrity and the integrity of this committee and all the people that testify in House Resources remains intact while we pursue the merits of HCR 29 and Pebble Mine. So with that, if you'd introduce yourself and who your affiliation and 2 minutes, and then we'll open you up for questions from the remaining members of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. Just for the record, just thinking about it, I believe that we probably manage, the company I work for manages perhaps 1% of the permanent fund and the public employees and teachers retirement funds. We've managed those successfully for the state of Alaska since 1994, using, I might add, 100% Alaskan-born young people, and they've been able to hold their own against other investment firms around the world. Just also for the record, I want the committee to know that I personally and my company, we own upwards of $1 billion worth of mining company stocks around the world, and we are, in fact, the fifth largest owner of Teck Cominco in the world, personally, in my company. So we're not here to talk and make bad mouth with respect to the mining industry. But, and so therefore, I can tell you, as a professional investor, what makes sense, we think, and what does not make sense. HCR 29 is an interesting resolution because really what it says to all of us in Alaska is, does open pit mining make sense in the Bristol Bay watershed? It is a step above, entirely above, the question of Northern Dynasties application or non-application. Shall we allow open pit mines in the Bristol Bay watershed? So everyone in this room also understands, Northern Dynasty is a second-tier mining company. That means that they have never mined gold. They have never had a dollar worth of revenues. This company is a promotion company. So understand that when you hear their presentation on Monday. It's not to denigrate that, but the fact is that the promises being made by Northern Dynasty today are being made on behalf of a company that is not yet identified, a company that will have to put up $1.5 billion or $2 billion to develop this. So it is not the promises of the people at Northern Dynasty that matter. It is the promises of the people yet to be determined. I can tell you that a sulfide mine nowhere in the Western Hemisphere has ever been, in our view, ever. It has never been done properly. They always pollute. This is sulfide. Take a look at Mount Augustine. It's 60 miles away from this mine proposal. And when sulfur rocks hit oxygen and water, they turn into sulfuric acid. So mines in Fairbanks, my hometown, they do not do that. And that is the reason that we've invested billions of dollars around the world in mining stocks. It can be done right, but not in sulfuric rock. Please support HCR 29. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Gillum, can you state your name and what organization you're representing today, just for the record?
My name is Robert Gillum, and I'm here today as a member of the Board of Directors of Renewable Resource Coalition.
Okay. And are there questions from the committee for Mr. Gillum?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gillum. I appreciate it. Okay. I'd like to think that things went very well today. I just want to thank the committee and Representative Hawker. We appreciate you framing HCR 29, and I would encourage committee members to contact Director Milas from Land, Mining, and Water with any questions. We will come back on Monday and take up with a presentation from Northern Dynasty, and then we will determine how we're going to approach a lot of the off-nets and the LIOs that we have from around the state so that citizens can weigh in, and members of interest groups can also weigh in. And then we will proceed to hold this bill until we've had an opportunity to hear from the local governing body of the Lake and Penn Borough, and then make a decision how we're going to address HCR 29. I thank everybody for attending. I thank you, the committee, and we are adjourned at 3:15.